Welcome to the Denver Medical Study Group Healthcare Podcast. I am turning the tables today, and I'm going to be your Denver Medical Study Group guest host, Dana Jacoby, the founder and CEO of Vector Medical Group. And I'm excited to visit today with the founder and CEO of the Denver Medical Study Group, Chris Hadley. As many of you probably know, Chris has been the guide for creating a learning forum for healthcare innovation and reform through Denver Medical Study Group. Normally, Chris hosts the Denver Medical Study Group Healthcare Podcast interviews, but today it's my pleasure to step in as guest host and actually interview Chris. So Chris, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm sure our listeners probably know who you are. They probably know the real Chris Hadley, but today I'd like to have you share with our listeners a little bit more about your background, the creation of Denver Medical Study Group, and where you see it going in the future. So it'd be great, Chris, if you could just start us off by telling our listeners about yourself, your background, and, you know, what did you do before Denver Medical Study Group? There's a lot to the Chris Hadley story, and I think they'd love to hear about it.
Well, thank you, Dana. What a treat to be interviewed by you. I'm excited and look forward to sharing about my background. I grew up in Central Missouri as the son of a dentist, and we spent a lot of time as I grew up with other healthcare provider families. And so I got to understand a lot about healthcare, both from a dental and a medical perspective. And so it was fun. It was great. The rest of the time I spent on the farm. And, you know, we had to pitch hay and silage in the winter, and we had to bale hay in the summer, and we had cattle to feed and vaccinate and brand and all of that. So it was a good country mix for me. And when I left there, I went to undergraduate school at Drury University in Springfield, Missouri, and where I played basketball, got an opportunity to play with one of the professional players when he was younger, Pistol Pete Maravich. And that was a lot of fun. We played together. I was coached by his dad in summer camps, and it was just a great time. When I graduated from Drury University in Springfield, I went to St. Louis, and I was in the insurance industry there for about 10 years. And because I understood the healthcare profession, the market that I wanted to deal with was physicians and dentists. And so when I did that, every time I turned around, I was having to deal with their bank. There were questions about what the doctors were doing from the banker, and the doctor didn't want to talk to the banker, and the banker thought doctors made too much money and didn't know anything about business. And of course, I grew up around them, and I understood what was going on from the doctor's perspective. And so I was able to share their story. So I started doing that, and I realized that there wasn't anyone in the banking industry in St. Louis at that time that knew much about the healthcare profession. And so one of my friends, who was a hunting buddy, was a head of a group there, and I said, I'd like to get into the banking industry. And he said, well, we're going to be forming a private banking group here at Mercantile Bank, and I'll see if we can get you in. And he came back a couple of weeks later and he said, well, you don't have any lending experience, so it's going to be hard to get you in. And I said, well, you guys don't have any doctor experience, so you need me in there to teach me how to make loans, and I'll teach you about doctors. And so that's what we did. They got me into the private banking group. My responsibility was healthcare providers, dentists, physicians, all medical healthcare specialties. But they sent me to United Bank of Denver to learn how to make cash flow loans to doctors, because their practices typically didn't have any collateral. The only collateral was accounts receivables. So That was a big deal. I was out at Denver for 3 weeks, and then they sent me to Indiana National and first to Boston. And they said, okay, now you come back and you write a loan policy on how to make cash flow loans to doctors so the feds will approve your loans.
Oh, interesting.
Up to that point, all of my loans were out of compliance with the feds because there was no collateral. So we got that going, and it developed very nicely over that next 10 years in St. Louis. I had 60 different medical and dental practices and over $50 million in practice loans.
Wow.
In 1990, two doctors came to me that I had financed the startup of their practice. No one else would finance practice startups. There just was nothing there but pure risk. And they had been successful. One was an OBGYN, another one was an internal medicine doctor. And they said, we want you to leave the banking industry. And I said, why? I got a bank car.
Right.
I've got a country club membership. I've got health insurance. I've got. And they said, yeah, but your bank's going to merge with a larger bank and it's all going to change. Well, in January of 1990, I made that change. And these two doctors covered my personal expenses for the first year out. Because I stood by them when no one else in town would, and got financing for them to start their practices. So that's how Hadley Consulting Group got started. And they wanted me to help them with bringing in associate doctors, looking at the associate doctors maybe buying into the practice. And so that dynamic grew, and some of the bankers in town found out that I was consulting with physicians, and they would call me and say, well, do you know Dr. So-and-so? He's got an overdraft with us, and I can't get a hold of him. And I said, yeah, I'm going to be at the Medical Society golf tournament next week. I'll probably see him out there. And so sure enough, he was there, and we said hi and visited a little bit. And I said, you know, I'm out of banking now. I'm doing consulting with doctors and dealing with banks on their behalf. And he said, you are? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, you know, I've got a banker I'd like you to deal with on my behalf. And I said, well, why is that? And he said, well, he says I've got $20,000 in overdrafts on my checking account.
Oh, my goodness, Chris. Wow.
So that's the reputation that got started with the doctors. They knew they could call me and that the banking industry would listen to what I had to say because of my background in banking and my understanding of the healthcare profession. In 1995, I moved out to Colorado and only knew one person out here at that time. That was my fraternity brother. And before long, I was valuing and selling medical and dental and chiropractic and optometric practices, and did that until 2006, at which time the banker that was financing those practices, practice purchase, he decided to retire. And he was the one who trained me as a healthcare lender when I was in St. Louis. And so he said, yeah, he said, why don't you come back into banking? And I'm going, you know, I'm self-employed. I've got health insurance premiums that are outrageous. I've got this, I've got that. You know, I can take over his loan portfolio, and then someone will be there to help the doctors that know how to work with them. And I said, yeah, I'll do that. So I started out there at Guaranty Bank in Denver, and a year and a half later, my boss left and went to Citywide Bank, and he said, let me get over there, and then I'll bring you over. So sure enough, he made the transition. I followed him over, and I was there for 7 years as a healthcare lender. In 2008, I knew that I was going to have some issues with cash flow loans. And that's when I thought about forming a study group.
Okay, interesting.
And I contacted a CPA that did a lot of work with doctors, and Bruce Kirkpatrick was his name. And I said, Bruce, I'm interested in starting a study group of people, professionals that work with doctors, either as CPAs, attorneys, medical billing companies, medical recruiting companies, all sorts of services that support the healthcare profession, as well as healthcare providers. And what do you think? He said, I think that's a great idea. You ought to call so-and-so, you ought to call so-and-so, and you ought to call so-and-so. And so I did. And I also talked to one other bank about maybe co-hosting the concept, but they wanted to do it more in a social perspective.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and I wanted to do it as an educational concept. And so they went their way and I went my way. And I started in November of 2008. We had 12 of us that sat down and said, what do we want to do with the Denver Medical Study Group? Well, why I wanted to do it was because I wanted these resources available if I was going to work with a group of doctors. Who's your CPA? Who's your attorney? Right. Do you have your team? And if you don't, then let's get your team together. If you do, who are they? Well, one was Bruce Kirkpatrick. Right. You know, that. So I could talk to their advisors and say, hey, here's what we're looking at doing. Does it make sense to you for this practice? And so we were looking at their practice as a business, and the doctors loved it.
Oh, you know, sure. Absolutely. You know, to have those kind of resources, Chris, and somebody that's vetted, right? Not somebody, yeah. I mean, somebody that's already been vetted, because that's one of the biggest challenges we see doctors have today. That's fascinating. So your vision was kind of to have all different aspects of things that doctors could use, and then it's just evolved from there. I'm not sure. Our audience probably doesn't realize all the avenues that Denver Medical Study Group touches, because you really have created a broad prism of offerings. And they may see the Denver Medical Study Group meetings, or they may be a part of the Denver Medical Study Group board, or they may hear the podcast. But it might be interesting for them to hear, Chris, from you, all of the different things that you touch, because I think that would just be really interesting for our listeners to hear.
Well, it is. It's very interesting. And it's also very challenging. This is not a part-time job. You know, this is a full-time opportunity. Right. What we first started off doing was let's bring in speakers to talk about healthcare innovation and reform. And this was a bank-sponsored program. So the bank wanted to pay for these meetings so that they could get business. And, you know, it made sense to me. I understood that. But for me, it was more than that. It was to provide an educational opportunity for our membership, our Denver Medical Study Group community, if you will. And so that's how we started it. And in 2013, I think it was, Wells Fargo came to me and said, we want you to come over here and do that.
Oh, wow.
So I left Citywide Bank at that time and went over to Wells Fargo and was there for a year and a half. And I decided, you know, it's time to take the Denver Medical Study Group to the next level. So I retired from banking. And in January of 2016, I formed an advisory board of 12 people. And that's where the brainstorming and taking it to the next level began. And to get into the dynamics of what you ask about, Dana, that's when it started happening. Because all of a sudden, our environment was totally objective. We weren't being sponsored by a bank. You know, there were no side issues. We had no agenda, just to provide an opportunity for our community, our Denver Medical Study Group community, to be educated about healthcare and healthcare innovation. And so that's where we went. We had We now have had, since 2009, 90 different speakers speak to the Denver Medical Study Group. In the first few years, it was six, seven meetings a year. And that worked out well. Some of them were lunchtime meetings. There were a couple that were evening meetings. And that worked out well. But one of my mentors at that point was Sue Turney, who was the CEO of Medical Group Management Association at that time. And she said, Chris, you got to take this to the next level.
Everybody keeps telling you, take it up a notch.
Yeah. And so I go, well, what's the next level? And so what we had on our advisory board had grown at that point from 12 to about 15, 16 members. And one of them was University of Denver, University College, the director of their Master's in Healthcare Administration program. Wow. Well, they got involved with the Denver Medical Study Group because of the educational aspect. Then we started getting sponsors, like Vector Medical Group yourself is one of our sponsors. And everyone that is a sponsor has done it because of the educational aspect. And so it's grown that way. And then we started a student intern program where I would work with the university students one at a time. We'd have maybe maximum of three students at any one point on a project that we would publish on behalf of the students. And it worked out really well. And that has gone on now for, 4 or 5 years. And we now have, we now have three universities, University of Denver, Metro State University, and University of Colorado, Denver, all of their masters in healthcare administration program. We're also talking to Regis University. They may come aboard sometime in the coming year. So that has really expanded dramatically and has been a lot of fun. The board is an extremely important tool or part of what I do as the Denver Medical Study Group. I go to we have monthly board meetings, and I go to the board meetings with questions for my advisory board members, and they're a brainstorming group. And that's really important because they come up with ideas for topics, suggestions for speakers, and I get that also from our community. So hopefully that's a long way around, but hopefully that helps tell you a little bit about how the Denver Medical Study Group has gone to the next level on a couple of occasions.
No doubt, Chris. No, I think what's so interesting about Denver Medical Study Group, Chris, and I'm glad you described all that, is just the richness of the network. And it's not one side. You know, a lot of associations or groups, you'll have, okay, well, this is the hospital association, or this is a medical practice association, or this is a banker association, or this is a college association, and you really have scaled all of those levels, not just at the board level of having a very diverse, interesting board, but in all the different areas you touch. So just a really neat overview for the listeners on what DMSG is, but more importantly, to your point, how it's disruptive and innovative across all healthcare channels, just because the breadth of the people that you touch. So I'm curious, just because I'm sure if I'm a new listener to the podcast, or even if I'm a listener that maybe I know about Denver Medical Study Group from one of your robust meetings, what do you want your legacy to look like? And then how can the audience best support you? What do you need the most of right now at Denver Medical Study Group? Are you looking for new board members? Are you looking for sponsorship? Are you looking for innovative ideas? All of the above. How can the audience best support you moving forward?
Good question, Dana. Thank you for asking that. First of all, a quick comment about our Denver Medical Study Group community. We have 35, 40 different professions that work with healthcare providers as part of our community. And our speakers frequently say, I'm not used to talking to such a diversified group that knows so much about healthcare. And so that I wanted to share that because that's been an impressive comment that I've gotten from some of our speakers. But the Denver Medical Study Group that relies on its sponsors. We have 10 sponsors now, and we rely on you guys to provide funding so that we can cover our expenses. We charge for our webinars and we charge for our in-person meetings, but those just cover the cost of the meetings. It's the sponsorships that we really need and want, and we'll promote those sponsors to help out the continued growth of the Denver Medical Study Group. In particular, when we have gone to the next level with the DMSG Healthcare Podcast Program, we've been in it long enough now that we've got a little bit of a feel of how it works and what we need to take it to the next level. And I've worked with our podcast consultant, Executive Podcast Solutions, and they've been fantastic to help out. But that's sponsorships are our main interest. Second to that, our volunteers at our in-person meetings. It's an opportunity for your people to meet our guests, and we need the volunteers to help us on the various activities of the in-person events. I didn't realize I was going to be an event planner too.
Right, on your side job, one of the five side jobs. No, it really, and I will speak from experience, the meetings are incredibly well organized. The networking that goes on pre and post meeting is fantastic. I can just speak from experience of having participated on a lot of the different areas of Denver Medical Study Group, how incredibly rich the conversations and even the questions, Chris. I know having sat in the audience in a couple of your meetings last year, just hearing some of the questions from people of all different walks of life and what they asked really deepened my lens of insight on real estate and healthcare, banking and healthcare, you know, billing and coding and healthcare. I mean, you really get a broad spectrum of different C-suite executives from all over the country, really, but also all over the region. So, thanks for what you do.
Yeah, thank you, Dana, for saying that. You know, I've been told by a couple of professionals, there's no other organization like the Denver Medical Study Group in the country that provides such a diversified opportunity for education and healthcare. So it's our pleasure to do that. I look forward to continuing to do that as we go into the fall of this year and next year. And thank you so much for your support of the Denver Medical Study Group. It's so exciting to have you as a part of our organization.
No, my pleasure, Chris. It's an honor. Last quick question, but you know, if people want to find Denver Medical Study Group, do they go to the website? Is there a place, should they email somebody? What's the best way if a listener is really motivated on the heels of this podcast to sponsor or be a part of the meeting? How do they find you?
Well, they can contact me directly, Dana, at my email address, chris@denvermedicalstudygroup.com, or on my phone number. My cell phone is 303-249-5572, or just Google Denver Medical Study Group or DMSG Healthcare Podcast. Those are the four best ways to connect with us, and I'm always glad to talk to someone that has an interest in the Denver Medical Study Group, so bring it on.
All right. Well, we will make sure that that goes in the show notes. And I can't tell you, Chris, such an honor and opportunity to interview you today. And we really appreciate you giving our listeners a better understanding, not just of Denver Medical Study Group and what it's about, but also your robust background that led to this overall, you know, innovation in healthcare. And, you know, if our listeners want to get involved as a volunteer or a sponsor or be a part of the Denver Medical Study Group Advisory Board, they can just reach out to any of the ways that you just mentioned. They can get in touch with you directly, which is fantastic. And we just really appreciate all you've done for healthcare across the country, but also just all you've done for physicians throughout your career to really make a robust healthcare environment go to the next level. So thank you so much for allowing me to guest podcast, and we'll look forward to seeing you soon.
You did a fantastic job, Dana. Thank you for doing it.
Oh, my, absolutely, Chris. Thank you.